This DYM podcast is brought to you by APU. Azusa Pacific Seminary offers 9 programs designed to equip men and women for sustainable kingdom service. Students graduate from Azusa Pacific Seminary equipped to transform the world with Christ. Learn more at apu.edu/seminary.
Three, two, one.
Hey!
I know, totally. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Download Youth Ministry podcast.
Yep, there it is.
This is episode 297. Doug Fields here with Josh Griffin.
Hello.
Those of us that are on staff at Download Youth Ministry, just the two of us.
Yep, that's it.
And then we're brought in, and we fill out the table with Jason Carson, senior pastor extraordinaire.
Hola.
Starter of the Supertones. Everybody loves him. And Katie the Queen Edwards, junior high pastor, veteran leader, author, speaker, model, great mom.
Nope.
Season ticket holder.
Season ticket holder to the Rams.
Ventriloquist.
Yeah. Oh,
have you seen her do ventriloquism? It's amazing.
It's top notch.
Anyway, if you listen to show 296, that's the one we just recorded a little bit ago, we're sorry. So this show is going to be a lot better.
We can't I thought it was great.
Josh and I are going to try. Let's try not to make fun of each other this show.
Yeah.
Just you and me. We can make fun of these two.
Maybe encouragement.
I agree. The encouragement show.
Just make fun of each
encouragement
other.
Encouragement only.
No. This month.
Have I ever made fun of you, Katie?
I don't think so.
I don't make fun of you.
Not much.
I won't.
Make fun of her husband.
She's fragile.
I'm so fragile. Yeah.
This month, Download Youth Ministry members get to hear more from Jason Carson. He is the mentor me this month.
Ooh,
so he talks about senior pastor relationships. So members,
that's great.
Make sure that you download the mentor me with Jason Carson.
Yeah, and you know what? And why would you not be a member?
Agreed.
We should have a show just on why you would not want to be a member.
You still need to make t-shirts.
Why would you not want to be a member?
Why would you not? Through all the great perks.
Oh, yeah. That's what the whole show would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Games app, newsletter builder.
Games app makes me so
free
happy.
Money. What? But whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just changing youth ministry. $20 a month. Don't worry.
Market disruptor is what we've been called, Josh. Market disruptor. That's what somebody called us the other day.
That's cool.
Okay. I like that.
Market disruptor.
Not even sure what it means.
I think we're just trying to help youth workers win, and I think it's working. It's working.
Yeah. It totally is. So many people love downloading.
You know what? And it's not working as well as Orange is working, our primary sponsor. And because they're working better than us, they can afford to sponsor our show.
They do. You can see this graphic hidden just behind Katie and I.
Yeah. The orangeconference.com. Hey, in the fall, they're going to be doing tours all over the place. They do about 15, 19 tours.
Yeah.
Are you doing one of them?
I think so.
Yeah, because Reggie asked me about it. He asked me if you were a good speaker. I go, she's a great speaker.
Oh, you would crush it there.
Really like that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so we're doing the only one that Orange Tour is doing like 19. And in Orange County, it's their only 2-day one. And it backs up to our DYM 100, where we're going to record our 300th show.
We're close.
The first time ever, Orange is having a couple tours that Reggie Joyner will not be at. And yours truly is going to play the role of Reggie Joyner.
Douglas, you're going to crush it.
Oh, I don't know. I think people, I told him, I said, people that have been before are going to go, we like Reggie. Yeah.
Change is hard. That's.
Yeah. We have great sponsors. Orange is our primary sponsor. What about Leader Treks? They were really the only one to send anything in that we should read.
Yeah, so. Leader Treks is awesome. We just spent the summer with them at the Student Leadership Conference.
The greatest.
Doug and Angie are the most amazing youth workers.
Go ahead and rate Doug on a scale of 1 to 10.
Doug, just him as a person?
Yeah.
10.
10. What about Angie?
His wardrobe? 7. Oh. He wears the same shirt, a different color of the same shirt every day. He has a whole wardrobe of the same shirt. He loves
the uniform.
It is. Yeah. It's like a, yeah.
Yeah. And for Josh to evaluate anyone's wardrobe, just feels
I like the wardrobe choices.
You like JHM, loud and proud of my
Yeah, I wish I had one of those.
Yeah.
XL.
So do I. XL.
Why don't we all?
XL.
Huh?
We should do a JHM show and talk about junior ministry and all get free shirts.
I would like one too,
Katie. You would totally do that.
I would.
Do you have any hats that fit?
Yeah, let's try
Leader
that.
Treks.
Leader Treks has this thing called Refuel Retreats. Retreats. They just added a new location in Destin, Florida this September.
Ooh.
If you don't know what a Refuel Retreat
is,
it's
right on the beach.
How awesome would that be? It's basically a chance to get away, escape, be coached, have great conversations, rest. from the craziness of youth ministry for a couple days with some people that love you, love youth workers, and do it right. Really cheap, 3 locations. You should go. I'm talking really, Katie, to you. You should go.
I would like to.
It'd be great.
I really would like to.
Colorado. A couple of them already done. So they have just Colorado and
they
Florida.
They pick really good locations, and I always go on their website to see where they are. Because the Colorado one's
that's
at
your
a
retreat.
Castle.
Yeah, your retreat. You're like, wow.
Yeah. And then the Destin one's right on the beach.
On the beach.
Well, Allison, our other sponsors did not send us anything. YM360 didn't even care about us anymore. They're so big now.
They started like camps. Yeah, they do camps now all over the country. They're killing it.
They throw their crumbs down to us.
I love it. I'll be speaking at a Generate camp next summer, which will be a lot of fun.
Fabulous.
In Colorado. Great. I wish it was at a castle. It's not.
It is kind of loud.
Sorry.
Here's a practical question from Chrisman Coaching.
Chrisman.
How do you say the last name, Katie? Coaching?
Kochik.
Kochik. Practical question. What do office hours look like for you as it pertains to full-time vocational ministry? How much time in the office, out of the office, and other things? In PDYM, there was a block schedule. If you create an average block schedule for a successful youth pastor, what would it look like?
Ooh, that's great.
Well, define successful, because I don't know.
Well, I would say if you have blocks, you just need to identify what those are, first of all. So sermon prep or lesson prep is going to be a chunk of that. I think relational time would be big. If you can get campus time and put a chunk of, I'm going to go visit an FCA or a Bible study, whatever, that would be great. Some churches would have specific requirements like a visitation where you go visit people from the youth group or whatever, you know, something like that. So yeah, I think you could identify some blocks pretty quickly. I would just say, if someone asked me this question, one of our interns at Download Youth Ministry asked me that last night, and I said every week is different. Like there are blocks and there is some routine and schedule to it, but as a youth worker, it's unpredictable. You just don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that every day in the office, you want to be out of the office at a certain time to either be on campus, meeting with an adult leader, meeting with the kids?
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes at the size and scope that we've played in, sometimes you have to stay in the office because you're managing a lot of people who should be out of the office.
Yeah.
But I would say for 90% of the youth workers that, you know, half their time's out of the office.
Yeah. And I think if I was to interview a church or go to a church, that would be at the top of my list of things I would ask. Well, how many hours do you want me here in the office? Because I think that is usually an unsaid expectation that is very different from what I think it should be.
Yeah.
And different bosses are going to have different expectations. Like I've known of several guys in youth ministry where their boss expects every staff member, youth or executive pastor or whatever you are, to be in the office from 8:30 to 5 every day. Like they expect it.
Yeah.
And so, and then I've seen other youth pastors, like, I don't think they ever go into an office ever. And they make jokes about how they have board meetings, which mean
surfboard
meetings. Yeah. They go surfing with people and that's their thing. So you got to check with the boss, obviously, on what the schedule is. But I like what you're saying, though. Make sure you get home to your family and be with your kids and, you know, have a time like 5 o'clock. I'm gone, or 4:30 if it's, you know, whatever.
Well, I was actually saying what I was thinking is, and I maybe didn't communicate it very clear, or you weren't listening. I don't know.
We'll have to,
since you listened to these back on the elliptical. As I'm saying, I think whatever that 2 or 3 time is, you're out of the office, not for your own kids, but you're either on a campus, meeting with a volunteer, you know, that's ministry is people. Yeah. So, you know, what does it look like? Yes, it looks different, but it should look like a lot of time with people.
Yeah, I would hope that it would be somewhere, I would guess, at half, because you got to do some office work. You do have to go to meetings. That is a reality of it. But boy, you're going to be at services, events, pouring into people, loving people, handling crises and counseling. Good ministry doesn't always happen in the church office. I mean, it's a piece of ministry. It is.
I feel like the office is like your launching pad. So it should be the starting point for things. So I feel like for me, I like to come in a little bit early before everybody gets there and kind of set up the people time, you know? So my first, you know, like hour or two of the day is kind of the more like administrative, get things done so that the rest of my day is people. So I would just say, you know, maybe you have a couple of hours blocked out to be the launching pad for people and ministry and that kind of thing. And when you do your admin and things like that, and then, you know, I like to be out of the office. I like to be with people. I like to be with the kids. I mean, I like to be at events and things like that.
Yeah.
I think it's so fun, but I'm pretty disciplined in my first hour or two is kind of everything that gets me set up to be freed up.
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, I think another thing,
and that may be a little personality piece too, and the wiring. You know, one of the things I talk about in like a rookie track is to find your rhythm of time.
Because
for me, my best prep time is in the morning, so I don't want to, I don't want to spend that first hour with emails or getting set up. That's my best, like, think right time. And then I get tired, and then, you know, whatever. But that's a rhythm thing.
It's hard because for me, prep time is not an administrative task for me though. So I would say because I have a ton of like, you know, I have to do receipts and accounting and answering emails, and those things steal my joy. So I just like to get them out of the way so that the things that bring me joy, most of my day is spent there if I can.
That's great.
But ministry is unpredictable too. So I don't have a day that looks the same as the day before either. Yeah. So
I would say as you do look at your schedule, make sure you put in some time for development, personal development. That's usually the last and or forgotten thing that we put in or ignore. So find a time in the week or in a day to listen to a podcast, to read a book, to have a mentor conversation, something that pushes you as a leader. Because I think otherwise that will be long forgotten and you'll be stale and out of touch before you realize it.
That's great.
It's too late.
Okay, speaking of development time, last night I went out to dinner with somebody and he will go unnamed because I don't want him quoted on this. So I think, Josh, you probably know who I was with, but don't say anything.
Well,
no, it's not
was
bad.
Was it like an A-list actor or something?
No. It was Elliot, our producer.
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks.
Is a pastor of a...
Tom Hanks.
A very...
We'll just call him Tom.
Tommy.
A very Tom happening, maybe one of the fastest growing churches in the country. And used to be a youth ministry person, used to be part of our PDYM world, and was in town for a conference, and we went out to... Kathy and I went out to dinner with him and his wife. Church has gone to, you know, 10,000 in...
Yeah, Pokemon Go status. This thing's blown up.
Under four years. He, when you said personal development, made me think about it.
Oh, cool.
Is he talked his elders into, for his executive team, giving them $10,000 each.
What?
Like where this is going.
Yep. Yeah. So far, so good.
$10,000, but... It had to be used in the budget year. $5,000 was for their marriage.
Wow.
$3,000 was for their kids.
Shut it.
And $2,000 was for whatever they wanted to do personal development wise.
What?
He's got four people on his, including him, five. The elders gave it to him too. So again, large church, but you know,
but different values than large
totally
churches.
Totally different. And I'm like, how did you get your, you know, pastors to sign off on that? And he goes, I told them that other churches are doing it. And then he told me of a couple of churches where he got the idea from. And I was so excited to hear that there are other churches that are investing in their people, you know, that
That's
way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And he called it, my can't lose them line item or something like that. Like, I don't want to lose those people. And I said, we're just laughing. I might choose a different way to say that because you don't want your motive to be like, we're going to throw money not to lose. Like, what about we want to make your life awesome?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, rather than can't lose them or, you know, we want to help
bribe,
you win.
Essentially, yeah.
Like that.
No, but someone that cares for my, a church that cares for my kids?
Yeah.
A church that cares for my marriage, we need churches that think that way.
Yeah.
Because they're at best an afterthought in most churches.
Yeah.
Or just ignored, not even
intentionally.
Yeah,
when
you said
personal development, it just triggered that.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought, oh, I want to talk to the guys.
Is it a one-time thing that they did and that was it?
No, they're on year three of this.
Shut it.
But, you know, it hasn't been too long in our little subculture of, you know, pastor leaders types kind of struggling or being asked to leave. You know, there's some pretty high profile people that have been asked to leave recently at their churches related to, you know, marriage difficulties or alcohol or something like that. And, you know, I mean, it's not Christian gossip. It's like, you know, ChristianPost.com and
USA Today.
USA Today had it, different things like that. And all of a sudden this church elder board was saying,
we don't want to end up.
We don't
that
want.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
We don't want to be in this.
What a statement! And then the backup of it as well.
I don't think you need $10,000 per person to create that culture, though. And agreed. The reason why I would say that is because I feel like we were raised in a culture to value family and our marriage. And we do a staff retreat that includes, you know, that you started, that includes our spouse. And there are sometimes really, really significant, even smaller things that you can do to create that culture on your team. So even if your church isn't doing it as a whole, it's something you can create in your youth ministry community. Or
oh, I agree. I used to give awesome 5,000 to the key leaders, right, Josh?
Dang it.
Did you not get that?
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
I got it twice, I think.
I wasn't a can't lose.
I was every 6 months.
I wasn't a can't lose.
No, you're right. It doesn't. It's not so much the dollar amount. So much the dollar although amount, there's a wow factor
there
to
is,
that.
For sure. It's incredible. It's
but
incredible.
But I think the principle behind it is, you know, how do we really care for people and not just that what they're producing, how many kids
they're bringing. How do we care for their spouses? How do we care for their family?
Well, and you're going to pay for it if you don't. Like the churches that have lost high-level people or had moral failures or all that stuff that happens in a lot of churches, you're going to pay dearly in reputation, in giving, in attendance, in obviously shame to the cause of Christ. Avoid that. Stop that. Don't let that have a place here. And prove it. I mean, it still could happen.
Sure.
But boy, you're doing everything you can to stop it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that as a younger youth worker, it was something that I think was instilled in us and that we were raised in as we got married and had kids, that those things were such a value. And there sometimes are just really cool, consistent, small things that lead to that culture. Yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, I think we're culture makers. So, you know,
if you want that,
you kind of put a tweet out there the other day, Josh, that I saw that everybody needs a cheerleader, you know, and, you know, we're not always fortunate enough for people above us to be our cheerleader, but we can be cheerleaders to the people that are, you know, on our team as well.
Yeah. Well, what inspired that tweet was a youth worker who was running on empty and did not have anyone in her life that was cheering her on. And I thought, man, that is how everybody feels. I just saw it vividly in that moment. I was like, da, 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 send, because it's so true. I need one. We all of us do. Sure. None of us are sitting here going, I don't want any more encouragement or love or, you know.
Totally.
This is from John Batch. She says, I'll pass on the formalities and jump to the question. Junior high to senior high to college. How do you transition from one school year to the next? What summer things can be done to help in that transition?
Well, just let Katie answer this. Done and done.
Well, I mean, I think we could answer it together.
Okay, I'm in.
Because we've done a lot of transitions together.
A lot of years. I'll give you one example. Last night I was talking to the Downland Youth Ministry intern again, and he was one of those students in our ministry who you walked over as an eighth grader as he was finishing his time in junior high ministry. You brought him over to me, made an introduction, told me why he was special, and really made a clear, tangible handoff. He was unbelievable for 4 years and is still now faithful in the ministry. And he talked about that moment. He's like, my first memory of you was when Pastor Katie walked me over to high school ministry. And that was a vivid picture of the handoff to me. And obviously affects him to this day.
Totally. Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, we try to do that in bigger ways too. That was a very specific one.
I think for junior high, you know, once we hit like March, you know, I need to make a mindset shift of how do I set them up to win in high school? And so I feel like the whole second part of their eighth grade year is thinking about high school versus thinking about how they win with me. So thinking through what will help them connect relationally, spiritually, how to set them up to win for what you're teaching next and in some of those ways. So I think for each kind of person in each age group to really start thinking about 6 months out, maybe, of how we set them up for the next phase. You know, I think for me, everything I'm doing, I'm hoping helps them win in high school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we can launch them into small groups and loving the church and having deeper roots in Jesus, then
they'll win in high school. And that's kind of what it's all about. I think the same is true with seniors, you know, is really, you know, probably even towards the top of their senior year, starting to think through what helps them connect with college and adult church and, you know, all those things.
And because it's such a significant life change, because they're going to now leave home, go to school, et cetera, et cetera. I always feel like, boy, we've got to help seniors in particular to finish strong because there's a discernible finish line. High school is the end of this whole chunk of your life and development. Where junior high really does feel like a nice handoff. I like that. Just like it's an easy pass. Senior to college does feel like a almost a chasm on the other end of it. Like, here you go. And so anything you can do to help them make that transition well and be equipped for that's big.
Yeah. I think that's huge. I don't know. I think sometimes we're trying, some youth ministries might be trying to hold on to their kids to the last minute. But I think if we can start releasing them into our in our hearts to the next age and not being worried if they start going to high school a little bit early, you know, that's a win. If they want to go to high school out of our ministry, then then we've done our job.
I think one of the biggest keys that you have done from junior high to high school is you will give us your leaders too. Not all of them, but many small group leaders will cross the divide, and that is huge. Makes it so easy on a kid. Because right now, my son's small group leader is staying in junior high, so he's finding a new one in high school, and that's a big transition.
Yeah.
So I love that so many of the leaders make that so effortless. Like, well, we've been together for 2 years already. Let's keep going or whatever.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, as we let go of our senior leaders and to become college leaders, that's hard for me because I always get the little tension of like, I don't want to lose good people and I'm a little territorial at times. But boy, when you do let your leaders go, as difficult as that is, it sure helps those kids.
Yeah. One process.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say too, we've worked really hard for years and years and years for total alignment as well in language, curriculum, even style of ministry. Like we used to be called small groups and ABS and C groups and whatever. Now it's life groups, and that just helps. You know, when you talk about
common language,
the common language good. I think is really helpful. Yeah. The common curriculum, even too, you know exactly where you're taking them. I know where I'm getting them and where my curriculum is taking them.
Yeah.
So I think those things are. A little higher level maybe, but they help.
Well, the more exposure you have in each other's ministry is a win too.
Yeah.
So junior hires moving up, they go, oh, I already know half the, you know, the high school staff has spoken in here and I know.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They help run events or go as cabin leaders, you know, anything we can do.
Yep.
To ease that, you know, them crossing that bridge.
Yep.
We do this thing on the last Sunday the eighth graders are with us. We call it the walkover. And so we release the eighth graders about 20 minutes early. We walk them over to high school where the high school leaders and high school staff are. They have donuts or something awesome like that. Mm-hmm. And then they spend 20 minutes like playing a game with them. This is your new room. This is where you're going to be next week. Like kind of, you know, just showing them around. 'Cause it's not like it's, you know, super crazy. It's just next door to us, but it feels like a really big leap. So it's
literally
like
the next room over, but it's totally different.
But it feels like a big deal to walk them over and to just have them in that space and like, this is your space. And
you know what's so fun? My son is living this right now.
Yeah.
He has loved junior high. Didn't want to leave junior high. Like in tears over it the last week, like really emotional. And like, I'm going to always be, and he does love junior high.
Yeah.
But it is so fun to watch immediately this summer, the staff has worked relationally, really, really intentionally in those first few months to love the incoming freshman. And he hasn't forgotten about it and still loves it, but he has made the, he's made the handoff.
Yeah.
He's in and loves it.
I think it's a win for us when kids come back and they're like, HSM is so much better than JHM. And I, you know, there's part of you that's like, I'm dying.
You know? But yes,
really, that statement is such a win because
it means you did a great job.
I want them desperately to be connected as high schoolers and they need the church and HSM in high school. They really do. And so I'm like, I knew you would. I knew you would love it so much more. Yeah. So,
and don't you think one of the difficulties in the transition is, you're spending so much time learning the new kids that are coming in that the ones that have just left, it's like, oh, they're in, you know, they're supposed to be in another ministry and you just don't. I mean, if you were, let's go back to the question about time and blocks of time.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the high school pastor and I have a block of time, I want to grab that ninth grader and spend time with him or her versus the person who just graduated. Now I might feel more comfortable with the person who just graduated, know them better, might be an easier conversation. But I always felt that tension of you gotta look to the new ones, but when you do that, you're turning your back to the ones that are just leaving in some ways. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it literally happens on the same week.
That's why youth pastors that do have, you know, middle school and high school combined, you're part of the whole process. And obviously there's transition still in that, but there is like a little bit of, you know, oh, you get them for such a long time. That's so cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I always like the idea, though, that they do have something to look forward to.
Me too.
Like my kids in children's ministry, they were so done by the end of sixth grade is how our church is structured. They're like, oh, they have something to look forward to. Junior high.
Right.
And when junior high is coming to the end, they're like, oh, we have high school to look forward to. So I love them having that forward momentum. There's more for you here right up to their senior year. And then then hand them off.
I think some good handles for parents, too, making sure that you're bringing parents into the next phase well, too. And so just focusing on, you know, in each jump. So from junior high to high school, that's a big jump for parents, especially a first time parent of a high schooler. I was really terrified and I'm an insider, you know, so to have the high school team come alongside of me as a parent and say, this is what you can expect. And this is how we're going to come alongside your family. You know, so even just touch points with parents along the way, I think are huge. I can only imagine a first time college parent of just figuring that whole life transition out of like, here's some things to expect and ways that you can still be a parent and come alongside of them discipleship wise. I think that's an important part of the transition process too.
I think being less of an insider now, I am amazed by how little information I have. Before I was inundated. I knew every detail about everything. And now taking a step away from it all and literally being just a parent, I'm like, wow. Yeah. The information is not easy to find. Not necessarily junior high. Sure. I just mean period. I would like more of it and I need it at the right time. Like I think I'm learning a lot about what parents need and what I specifically need as a dad by what I am not getting.
You should tell me in a detailed email. So
well, I'll give you an example today. Oh, they said, if you want updates from your kid, this is for our sixth grade daughter who's at camp.
Gotcha.
If you, we'll give you updates, just text in and we'll give you updates. So I sign up for it and it says, the buses have left, you know, yay, they're at camp. 5 days later, the buses have left and we're heading back home. There were two texts updates at camp. We made it and we're on our way. I was like, that is not what I need.
Yeah.
And I am an insider, trust, safety, I'm all about it. And I'm like, two texts in five days.
Yeah.
They're trying to help helicopter parents like you.
They're
trying to cut the cord.
You know what's funny is I was thinking if I was a helicopter parent, I'd be pissed calling the church every day trying to figure it out.
Well, they did. They called.
I was like, well, I'm sure they're having a good time. Oh, well, I wish I got another text, but no.
This is from Jeff Roberts. Jeff Roberts says, Doug, Josh, Katie, Jason, first of all, you're awesome, hilarious, such amazing help. I've been a member of DYM for 1 week.
All right.
Welcome to the aboard. Family.
Sorry. I have been following DYM for a year or so, but could never become a member due to lack of funds or because the church would not cover it. So I just listened to the podcast and could become one, and it's so encouraging and entertaining. By the way, for those who can't afford it, we just started another tier, half price tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You there's a $9.99 tier that you can even get just the games app for $5.99 a month. And if it's really a legitimate situation, we have business owners that have donated scholarship money as well. So please let us know.
That's great.
Can I ask this? Why wouldn't you become a DYM member?
That's what I want to know.
We should do a whole show on that.
I think at least get a shirt.
Free shirts. I'm in.
When I came to Restoration Church, I was coming in with 8 months of experience as a youth pastor. I was coming in and taking the interim's place. She was an interim for 3 years. She is a church member, and that took the role. She was a church member that took the role, sorry. As the transition began, she was very helpful, and I could not have done it without her. Now, almost 7 months later, she's still around and still attempting to have authority. For example, trying to start programs without telling me, trying to tell me how to handle things, telling me things won't work, but they do work, etc. It's obviously very frustrating because when I started making changes to all our programming, that is when it all started. Anyway, I was wondering what you all thought about this. Thanks for everything you all do. You bring so much encouragement to youth workers everywhere. If it's a tough day, I turn on the podcast, and with the humor and encouragement, it just helps me. So thanks. Love you all.
Hey, Jeff. That's how I started my youth ministry. An interim lady that was in there for about a year and a half, and it was just dying, 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 and I came in and she acted like, oh, yeah, here you go. But then there was like a whole nother 3 months of just, she was like, nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know I was reporting to you. Anyway, but it was tough. And boy, you just got to, how long is he?
7 months.
7 months, and it's still going. Oh, Jeff, you got to have a hard conversation.
Yeah.
You know what? let her know.
But he also, even in writing, like, what should I do? I don't know if you heard his tone. He was positive. Like, I couldn't have done it without you.
Right.
Yeah. So like to me, I'd lead with that and, you know, meet with her and say, I just got to be, I could have never done this without you. But I just got to let you know, now I'm ready to do it without you. And so thanks for your wisdom. Thanks for your experience. Thanks for the role you played in 3 years, and I will honor that role. And, you know, if you want to come straight to me on some certain or whatever, set up some type of, you know,
the new
some
normal. Outlet for her.
Yeah, I'd like to tap into your wisdom, because the reality is, if she was an interim for 3 years, she does know more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, you're changing some of her babies.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're coming in and changing a program, you know, ego comes into play. I was telling somebody yesterday, we were talking about our landscape guy was over at my house and he was complaining about different churches. And I said, you know what? As long as people are involved, the church is going to be messy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she might have been an incredible interim. She might have been walking with Jesus, all of the above, but you're messing with the human side of her, you know, by changing things. And so that just needs a caring, tender conversation. But I think you start with that affirmation, because I heard it in the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't have done it without her.
Great. I would dive in to why is she doing this just for a few minutes too. Like, it's possible that she wants to hand it off to you, but is not seeing strong leadership and is kind of filling in the gap a little bit.
That's good, Josh.
So it's possible that she doesn't want to be there, but can't let go because she's maybe fearful of you know, letting it fall apart or whatever.
Yeah, so that's how I felt when you took over for me.
Well, it went all right.
It went all right.
And it will for him too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 But I do think a conversation, clearly a conversation's in order.
Mm.
I mean, first mute her on social media and then ignore it as long as you can. And then
finally,
what Christians do.
You know what?
Talk behind her back. Yeah, be passive aggressive.
See if you can get everyone against her.
Just get out your knife, cut out that book of Matthew. You don't need that whole go to them crap. You're fine.
Gosh, you didn't do that bad.
Not that bad. Thanks. Not that bad.
All right. Easy with that.
Yeah. No one's going to say anything about his hat. We're both. Can he pull off a hat? Okay.
It's not on camera.
Elliot. Shots fired, Elliot.
There's a lot of layers
Elliot.
To that.
Hey, next year when you invite me to your birthday party, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm
not coming. Layers to
I'll
that.
Be at dinner with Doug.
Well, you were part of the UFC. You were part of the UFC.
I was. That was a great night.
Oh, yeah. You're the reason.
Well, him and there was like 40 people there. But
that was fun.
Yeah,
that
was when night. You're invited
the
last minute. Yeah.
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 Okay. Cool.
Well,
okay.
Good shows. So fun.
Yeah, you guys, so good to be together. And a half hour goes by so fast.
It really does. Yeah.
At least for me.
Yeah. It was
is
fun,
it
though.
For you, Josh?
It does.
Yeah.
So fast.
Katie?
Yeah. I thought it was super fun, though.
Okay. Jason? Yep.
A blast. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love having you here.
Yeah, I love being here.
That's great. I wish I had your voice.
He does have a great voice.
Yeah. You have a great voice too, Josh.
You can't hear me because Katie and I are sharing a microphone today.
Yeah.
Plus, you can always hear
plus
you.
Plus the bill of your hat hits
what
the
microphone. What did I do? What did I do to you people?
No, you have
I'm a loudmouth, poorly fashioned.
No.
Jason, take Josh. A shot. Take a shot.
Well. You have host voice. You can hear host voice from a mile away.
That's it. I'm going to go do
Come
some
on.
Ministry. I don't know.
With your paper airplane.
And I'm going to wear this hat to do it, all right?
Do it. Is that a tear I see? Oh, yeah. No.
You make fun of my face?
No.
Oh, sorry. It's just an unsightly growth near your eye.
Stop.
What do you
it's
mean?
It's not that bad, Josh.
It's not that bad.
Show's over.
Stop
people.
It.
Show's
all right. Over. Send your questions to podcast. At
webshow.youthministry.webshowpodcast.
Bye.
Yeah,
wait,
no. Podcast at downloadyouthministry.com.
Get out of here.
This DYM podcast is brought to you by LeaderTrix. LeaderTrex is a youth worker's best friend. We want to support, encourage, and love on you, and we want to make your life easier when it comes to discipleship and leadership development. We know you're busy serving students, so we're here to serve you. And since we love DYM, members always get 10% off by using the code DYM10 at LeaderTrex.org.